Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Pick and Roll podcast. Today's a guy. We got another good week for you guys. This week is just like last week. The week before, we were watching full player breakdowns. This is a big week in college basketball. This is the first time we've broke down some college basketball games. You know what I mean? We were going to watch a G League game, but you know, some abilities to rewatch those games because they only have it on the live TV is going to make it interesting. So that'll be coming in a future episode, two episodes away, if I had to guess on that. But basically, yeah, we broke down some really good players, full game breakdowns. We broke down two French basketball players, Tijon Salum, Zachary Rocher. We broke down the number one overall ESPN ranked high school prospect in Isaiah Collier. And when we watched them play against Kansas State, got to watch Isaiah, Art Page, Kobe Johnson, Arthur Kaluma. Those are the notable guys that played in that game. And then we got Baylor versus Auburn, which was the sneaky good game because we got to see Jacoby Walter, Mira Little, Jalen Bridges, Aiden Holloway. Those were a good group of guys. We got to see Rocher as well. So it's going to be a really big group here. So I'm guessing we're going to start with Salum. Salum sounds like a good starting point, Chris.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So Salum's, this is the second time we've watched a full game of him. The first game was a U18 game. He's obviously, like we just mentioned, French. He's playing in the French MBLA Elite League right now. But you can find his game. Yeah, he's technically playing in the Euro Cup, but the league he is just MBAL. The French Elite NBA, their A League, basically, the best way I can try to explain it. Their highest league in France. That's what I'm trying to say. That is currently playing in the Euro Cup. Yeah, you're right. So basically, watch the full game. He's 6'9". The first thing that wows you is his impressive wingspan. The dude's tall. You can definitely feel his length. His general body build still does remind me a lot of Andre Kirilenko. I definitely feel very confident about that. He can't be as good of an on-ball defender as Andre Kirilenko, but in this game, I was extremely impressed with his team defense. This dude has a really good feel of ways to play two passing lanes off ball. So basically, imagine your head, somebody's running a pick and roll on the right side, and on the left side, there's two shooters, and one person has to guard both of them, right? Then they got to kind of play in the middle, right? And guard both of them off ball. He did a phenomenal job doing that. You could tell that the person that had the ball in their hands was like, man, that you could feel his 6'9 length when they're off ball and he's guarding two guys at one time. He was really impressive to watch. He's extremely polished as like a help side defender, somebody that can flash to the rim when it's needed in defensive rotations, and maybe guard a center near the rim and things of that nature. Like he's not going to be a world class defender individually man to man. He'll be a good to above average because he doesn't have like great lateral quickness like that, but he's really long. But he's today he could be a very good team defender in the NBA right now. The way he's anticipates where the team wants to attack with their actions, the way that he moves his body, the way he gets into passing lanes. He is one heck of a smart team defender, which puts that 6'9 length to real good use defensively. You know what I mean? And on top of that, in this game, he didn't really show as much shot creation. He only got to see one like step back three off the swing to the corner. Other than that, everything was standstill 3-point shots. I still feel like he has a really pretty 3-point shot. And you got to see him get drive to the rim every once in a while, but it wasn't anything high volume like it was in the U18 game. But I definitely feel like he flashed some incredible understanding of cutting offensively. Like, that man got like 10 to 12 points cutting off ball, being in the right place, knowing the when to be like a lob threaded at the rim, the dunker position, knowing how to like he put on a really big time masterclass in that game cutting wise. It was impressive. It was really impressive. You know, I still feel like he's a guy that I believe is a high floor. Definitely somebody can get to the rim at that 6'9 length and has a good handle, and he can shoot the three really well. And as well as he's showing defensively to use that 6'9 length as a team defender, I think he definitely is somebody that is still, in my opinion, a 12 to 14 pick. I wish I would have saw more shot creation for himself, but you know, I'll take the masterclass of intelligence any day. And he really put on a masterclass in his basketball IQ. It was really impressive to watch. And Saloon to me is still, in my opinion, 12 to 14 pick after watching two full games with him.
Yeah, I can agree with that. From what I've seen was that he's a long, patient forward. The really downside that I've seen a lot of, you mentioned team defense, so I'm going to focus on defense as well. I seen that he was beat a lot. Like, mm-hmm. He would be playing man, he would be like playing man, you know, kind of with the defender in front of him. And if you're just a little bit quicker, you're immediately going around him. He can't really keep up with those quicker guards. Mm-hmm. I've seen it a lot of times. I've seen him get turned around and spent around and like almost slip and fall and like stuff like that. And I was like, I don't really know. I'm not really completely believing in his defensive capabilities yet because of just mm-hmm. like I was seeing like he was getting beat a lot, mm-hmm. too much for me to be like, wow, you know?
Okay.
With his defensive capabilities. But I did see him knock down some standstill threes, and that's a good sign, especially mm-hmm. at his height, you know, length and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I seen him move well. I look for things like that. When I'm scouting, I look for if you just stand, if you float. A lot of guys float around a perimeter. Some guys are very movement-based, so they can go off ball, and they'll pick their spots, and they'll try to bring the defense and try to cut around so they can get good shots, make good shots, good shot selection. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of that from him as well.
Yeah.
I also noticed that when he moves with purpose and intent. And he always keeps his, and the number one rule is when you cutting, you should always keep your eye on the ball handler, and he does that very well. So he's always like, he always knows where the ball is and how to put himself in between the ball and the defender so that he can always get the best possible shot. I've seen a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
I also noticed that in transition, he runs very well in transition.
Yeah.
He fills his lane correctly every time without fail. And that's a big thing because, you know, like when you play basketball, right? Even if you're, you know you're supposed to fill your lanes. Like, you know, if you're a wing, mm-hmm. you're supposed to run to the wing, fill that wing up. If you're a guard, you're coming right down the middle, you know, and then you have the other wings on the other side, and you kind of like converge. Mm-hmm. He fills his lane correctly every time. I have not seen him miss it. And that was something that I really liked about him, that I was like, okay, that's basic fundamentals. Like, you really like was like, okay, listen, I know how to fill my wing. And that's why he was had so many open shots, stand still, because he would like go and fill the space correctly. And then mm-hmm. they would just pass to him, and he would just knock it down.
Yeah.
He did crash the boards very well, I would say that.
Yes.
Yeah. But he is sometimes muscled by the bigger forwards. Like, I've seen him, like, as soon as the ball goes up, he's already, like, going toward there. But, like, he's like, not as muscular as some of the other guys mm-hmm. or, like, the bigger forwards. So, like, he easily gets boxed out a lot. So, like, but I can see, like, the effort is there. So I like the fact that there is an effort to try to even, you know, to try to maneuver around the bigger guys, even though he has some struggle with that. I like the effort because that tells me that once he does put on the muscle and able to move those guys around, he's already going to be, moving toward being a great rebounder because he already has mm-hmm. that he's already putting an effort in the effort now. So I know that he'll be more than willing to rebound at a high level when the time comes for him.
Yeah.
That's what I have.
Yeah, I mean the U18 game, he definitely flashed more scoring. I'm hoping to see more of that where he's playing because, you know, it's a different level playing against 18-year-olds and then going and playing against 33-year-old grown men that play the highest level French basketball. It's probably a top 5 to 7 best league in the world. So it's definitely better than college basketball. Like, no, they would run college basketball teams off the gym because how grown they are and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Rebound them so much. So, yeah, so it's definitely at a good level. So it's going to be he's definitely somebody that we can watch it multiple times, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So are you ready to kick it to the next guy?
Yeah.
All right. So the next game up is the first college game we've ever talked about. So we got Isaiah Collier, Arden Page, Kobe Johnson, Arthur Kaluma. So I'll go ahead and start with Isaiah Collier, the main attraction from that game. And then I'll kick it to you on a Collier, specifically speaking. So, you know, he's 6'4 point guard, obviously, just like we mentioned beforehand. ESPN top number one recruit coming out of high school. His best ability, in my opinion, is his passing. This guy could pass the basketball. Okay, he has a great natural feel. He makes really good passes. He can make one hand passes really easy. He makes full court passes look really easy. He's also very intelligent. Like, there's a few times where there was like, oh my goodness, this backdoor cut would be perfect right here, and somebody was a little behind on the cut, but I'm like, man, NBA point guards may not always see that angle, see that cut. Like, he's seeing a few plays ahead. Like, Isaiah Collier, his best ability is passing and in basketball intelligence as a point guard. There is nothing lacking there. He's definitely pretty quick and fast. He's a better quickness and fast athlete than he is vertically. He is definitely very strong, though. He's got really good muscle for the point guard position. You know, that strength and muscle does really allow him to finish at the rim extremely easily. That's the second best trait, in my opinion, is finishing at the rim. His strength and his body mass is just really good at the rim. He does a really good job. You know, he flashed a good pull-up mid-range shot, which is important for point guards to have because a lot of times, you know, centers are going to try to play when they're in the pick and roll, they're going to try to play the center and the point guard at the same time, so that mid-range shot is there if it's really efficient. So, you know, that's good to see. There was some rare flashes of three-point shot creation, but it's not enough for me to believe in, oh, when the ball is in his hands, he's going to be able to step back three, or he's going to, like, it's going to be so quick when the ball is in his hands, he's going to, you know, it's not like that yet, so I'm hoping to see him more, but right now, he just kind of looks like somebody that can come off the pick and roll and hit a jump shot and hit a three. You know, he has a good frame to defend well on the ball, but he's just not that good yet. He gets caught behind players off the dribble really easily. I feel like his angles, the way that he doesn't really know how to angle people off and take things away from people. It's just, it's his fundamentals on ball defensively are really poor. And off ball, he's also below average right now as well. But all those things that can be developed with time, but, you know, it is weaknesses. So far, the comp is a little bit of Marcus Marsh, smart-ish offensively, and the thought process of strength finishing at the rim, right? Like, he is definitely somebody that's strong enough to finish at the rim, but he's not so overly gifted athletically like Marcus Smart is, where he can always get to the rim whenever he wants. You know what I mean? He's also so much more gifted passing than Marcus Smart is, but he's not nearly the defender that Marcus Smart is. You know, his body type still reminds me exactly of Jrue Holiday. I feel like they're twins. You know, he's a little different player than Jrue Holiday. Jrue Holiday's got more game in the mid-range and three-point shot creation, things of that nature. Right now, I have him in an 8 through 12 range. I view him as a guy that can give you 16, 17, and 10 assists at this moment in time. It's game one of the whole college basketball season. I'm sure he'll improve, but this is the way I view him right now. So, Chris, what do you think about Isaiah Collier?
Oh, I want to say that far as comp, I would say he's like a less athletic Westbrook with a better shot.
Okay.
That's kind of where I get from him, because like when I was watching Isaiah Collier, because we did do this before as far as him in high school and things like that, and now watching the game, I was seeing more, and like it kind of just what is the word for it? It made things clear that okay, that I was on the right track when I was talking about it before. So basically, like he's really strong, you know what I mean? Like he can get to the basket at will. He's just not as athletic, but he does have kind of a sneaky athleticism. I don't know if you quite caught this, but there was a point in time kind of early in the game where there was like this big block, but he was jumping just as high as the other guy who got the block.
Yeah.
And he almost blocked the shot as well. So it was like he has a sneaky kind of bounce to him. So he can, he does have, he's like, he's more, he has more of like a, he's more like, I think that's a great thing that you had said earlier when you said he's more fast or quick. It has more of a like a lateral quickness, like rim running quickness to him versus his vertical ability. But I'm saying that there's also a sneaky like bounce to him as well. So like he is pretty fast. Like that's why my comp is Westbrook, because when you think Westbrook, you just think of blazing speed, hustle. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just running up and down the court, all very involved. Right. Mm-hmm. But I think that another comp for Westbrook, the reason why I choose Westbrook is because of his IQ, because of his passing ability and the way he sees plays. Because I think I'd said this before, is he sees the play unfold before it happens. Yeah. I think he mentioned it. A lot of the stuff is going to be reiterated, is that there was like a backdoor cut and he was just the guy was just a little bit slow. But I'm like, that play right there, he was on that. He already seen it happening. He was like, if you just come on, keep cutting, and the point is ours. We, you know, we're going to get this bucket. It's crazy when you watch somebody in high school and then you're like, wow, this is exactly what I thought they were going to be in college. Mm-hmm. And they're being exactly that. So that's one thing I do like. But I will say his best comp would be like he's half Westbrook.
Okay.
And maybe like a little bit Bledsoe. Like I think he's like half and half.
Eric Bledsoe's not a bad comp.
Yeah, because I like he's actually like he's a stocky guard. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
He could push some people around because he's like 6'5", 210 or something like that, like something crazy like that. Like he's definitely putting the work in the gym. So like he's not like a pushover. Like you're not just gonna just move him around. He's gonna move you around. So that's why I see more Westbrook, because you know Westbrook can play from the post, and I can see Isaiah Collier, if he wanted to, he could back down and play from the post as well.
Yeah, smaller guards, his, makes sense.
Because on his smaller guards, because he has like that stocky frame.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Alrighty, you ready to move on to the next guy in the USC roster?
Let's go.
All right, next man up on the USC roster for that game was Arden Page. He was a top 100 ESPN recruit coming out of high school. He's 6'9" center. You know, this guy is one fluid athlete. I was watching him and I was like, well, this is not what I was expecting at all. You know, he's pretty okay guarding the rim. He's not really developed super there yet. He's definitely got gifts. Like, dude's an athlete. You know, his gifts though have to do with guarding the perimeter. He is freaky. Oh man, can he move? Those VRCs, so smooth, so switchable. Dude's nasty. You know what I mean? He's definitely a rawer player. Definitely not somebody offensively can do anything other than me be a lob threat. Probably could learn how to set some better screens. He's a little raw defensively, but the dude's a freak of nature in the way he moves. 6'9" centers are a hard sell if they're not super ripped, because you know guarding the rim is extremely important, and it's really hard to do that when you're 6'9". It's the center position, so. I'm not saying first round because his body type doesn't really scream starting center, because even Claxton's taller than him. But I definitely feel like a late second round draft pick and somebody takes a shot on him, takes 4 years to develop, and then you get a solid backup center like an Onyeka Ongakwu. Now, Onyeka Ongakwu was really overdrafted. Okay, he was like a top five pick, but he's a really solid backup center for the Atlanta Hawks, and he's a 6'9 as well. Now, he's a little stronger than Paige, but Paige could be strong enough to do what Onyeka Ongakwu does right now for the Atlanta Hawks, because Onyeka Ongakwu was freaky like him guarding the perimeter. So I definitely feel like he has potential to be a really solid backup center for a while to give teams like a different look from their center back position as the backup center. So I definitely feel like he has the potential, and I feel like as because he's so freaky in the way he moves that I could see late second round draft pick team takes a chance on him, gets to develop him for 4 years, and then probably has a good backup center for a few years after that. That's my take on Arden Page. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that, because he is such a freak athlete, such a freak athlete. Yeah. So, like, you know, he's great with his perimeter defense, but it's just it's just about as much as it is to him. I mean, like, you can catch him on a lob threat, but I mean, like, the biggest problem here is that he's not tall enough to be like a, you know, to be a center truly. Like, he's more power forwardish, but he doesn't have any power forward skill.
Yeah,
he doesn't have any power forward skill. Like, truly, so it's like.
That's right.
I mean, and that's not going to be the easiest thing to develop. You know, this close to, the, you know, a lot of people are one and done. A lot of people don't stay 4 years in college. So it's like, it's going to be hard. It's going to be a hard, hard sell. But I do see what you're saying. Like, somebody's going to take a shot on them for sure. Probably in the second round somewhere. And they're going to come out with a nice backup small ball center. Yeah. That's what he's going to be. He's going to be a nice backup small ball center, you know, and maybe he'll just, you know, because he has natural raw athleticism.
Yes. So he can't teach.
You can't teach that.
Yeah.
So like that's like, but you can perfect it by knowing how to use it, you know, better in the game. Like he can learn how to better maneuver, you know, with his athleticism, because he could be flying around the court, you know what I mean, defensively and just guarding 1 through 5. Like that's very possible.
Yo, definitely.
So it's like, if he can know how to, you know, better, you know, use his athleticism, then, I mean, he can move up. But as of right now, I agree with this. It's going to be a late second round pick. Somebody's going to take a shot in the dark and go, maybe. And then he's going to turn out to be a solid backup center.
Yeah. I could definitely see the Warriors, specifically speaking, being a late second. Yeah, small ball center. He makes a lot of sense for that system.
Yeah.
All right, you ready to kick us to the next guy from the UFC team? Next man up from the USC game was Kobe Johnson. He's 6'6". You know, he's a two guard, I would like to say, two, maybe three. He's a pretty decent athlete, not overly gifted. I was hoping for more from him defensively. I feel like he's wasting some length and gifts at the two guard position defensively. He's pretty okay getting to the rim, nothing overly impressive. His 3-point shot leaves something to be wanted. I don't really think he's got to do that very consistently in the NBA. His shot creation ability looks extremely raw. The footwork looks extremely unrefined. I have him great as an undrafted draft pick. There's nothing much else to talk about. So what do you think about Kobe Johnson?
I agree. I didn't see too much that just jumped out to me and said, wow, like he everything's pretty raw. Mm-hmm. We're underdeveloped, and you can't be underdeveloped or raw. Yeah. I mean, you can be raw with like great athleticism and you can be molded. But if you just raw and you have like nothing really, and you know, nothing that you're like really, you know, great at, you know what I mean, like you're not a great shooter, you know, you're not great defensively, it's gonna be hard for you to be drafted, because there's nothing that people can latch onto. Like there's a guy, I think he was he's overseas, and they was like, yeah, he's like the best shooter ever, and like you've seen it, like he was like knocking down shots consistently, like people, like a team could like look at that and grasp onto the fact that he shoots and goes, okay, he's draftable, right? But if you're not doing anything great, you know what I mean, everything's okay, it's gonna be hard to draft you. So I can see either late second round or undrafted.
Sweet. You ready to kick it to the next guy?
Yeah.
All right, Arthur Kalumu is the only guy playing for Kansas State that we could really scout on that side, because another guy was hurt, would have been a second round pick projected wise. 6'6", I think he's a senior, so I think he's forced to come out this year. He's a pretty decent handle. His 3-point shot has always looked questionable. I've scouted him before. His 3-point shot has always been iffy. His shot creation, can he do it in college? Yes, but his footwork, his technique looks just so raw. He just looks so awkward with the ball in his hands where he's put in the situations where he does have to shot create. He's a pretty okay defender. His strength is decent. I was hoping for him to be a little more stronger, because he's an odd spot where he's 6'6", and he doesn't have the skill of a backup 2-guard in the NBA, but he's going to have to play the small forward, and you're going to want like your backup small forward to be 6'7", 6'8", 3-and-D guys. There's a gazillion of them in the NBA, and he doesn't really look like a good enough defender to be like, oh man, this 6'6 guy's gonna lock up. He's gonna be able to make up for his lack of shooting, right? It doesn't look like that to that extreme of a degree. So I have him graded as, you know, undrafted right now. I have him maybe, best case scenario, 11th to 12th guy on the bench. I think realistically, summer league team, and then go playing in the Europe somewhere or the NBL. What do you think about Arthur Kaluma?
Yeah. If he's a senior, I feel bad because, you know, I would like for him to play another year and do more. I would, since I'm not gonna say you crapped on him, but I'm gonna say, like, since you were kind of like really critical, I would say I'm gonna talk about some positives.
Okay, cool.
The only positive that I've seen was that he uses his body very well, right? Mm-hmm. We seen it in the first couple minutes of the game where, like, every 5 seconds it was a foul and he was going to the line. That's a good trait to have. He knows with his frame, kind of a thicker guy, that he can kind of maneuver within the lane, you know, and draw that foul easily. Yeah. He's one of those guys who will always push the tempo and kind of push toward getting to the basket because he can't do much else, and will draw the foul every time. He's going to be one of those guys who's going to average like 15 free throws a game, and that's pretty much going to be 15 points. That's all he's going to have. it's kind of like where he's looking at. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys, like I mentioned before, with Kobe Johnson was like, he's not really great at one thing that you can latch onto. So I can see him going undrafted to really, 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 really late again, just like his teammate, second round, because if you can really latch onto maybe like if he can get a little bit better, maybe handle wise and getting to the rim, then maybe you can latch onto that because he's showing flashes of being able to do that at a high level because he's pushing guys around and getting fouls. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's something that's happening like consistently. Like that's one of his calling cards is that, okay, I'm bigger, I'm a little bit stronger than you, I can push you around and I can get this foul every time. I'm going to the line. He's going to be one of those guys that's not flopping. He's literally being fouled and he's going to the line. He's going to be really irritating to those other teams because he's going to get a lot of people in foul trouble very quickly when drafted. So I think that if you can latch onto that, then that would be a good, you know, maybe a maybe he can be like a late second round pick. Late second round pick.
Yeah. 16th pick in the draft.
Yeah.
All right. You ready to kick it to the next guy?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Next game up was a doozy. Jacoby Walter at Aiden Holloway. I lost my mind watching this game. Me and Chris are going to have so much fun talking about these guys. So the first man up on the list is Jacoby Walter. He's a 6'5", 2-guard playing at Baylor right now. He's a top 10 ESPN recruit coming out of high school. He's a freshman. I mean, this guy, wow. He just shows some extremely high-level scoring basketball intelligence. He attacks the top foot so well. He really has moves to react to the defender. It doesn't matter if they try to push him left, push him right, play him really close, play really off of him. He will react accordingly and make the right basketball scoring decision. There was a moment with there's 3 seconds left on shot clock where he has a dirty step back three in Aiden Holloway's eye. It was impressive. Oh, it was unreal. You know what I mean? And he definitely showed his ability to get to the rim. That was definitely really nice. He's not like an overly gifted athlete, but he's definitely extremely intelligent at getting to the rim and getting to the free throw line and drawing fouls. This man can get to the free throw line at a professional level. This man knows how to bait people to jumping in the air, play off their body, and get two free throws. He's just very sneaky, highly intelligent guy. His shot making ability at the 3-point line is very impressive. His ability, he shocked me with a few things, though. I did not know he could come off ball screens like that and be Duncan Robinson's of the world and Max Strus's of the world, and he can make those. And it was really nice too. Like, it was super technical. Like, I froze the screen when he's coming off the screen. I'm like, that is perfect. Where you're supposed to have your hip right on the screener's back, so that the defender can't get anywhere in between you and the screener. So it makes it like impossible to stay close to him. I was like, wow, that was technical. That was like really nice. Like, he was heating up from 3-point line. Got a lot of open shots. You know, one time I saw him relocate into a better spot for him to get past the ball too as well. So he could be like an off ball shooter as well. Dude looked like he can shoot the poo out of the 3-point shot. You know, I'm waiting to see more mid-range shot creation. I'm assuming we'll see it later. We definitely saw it in high school highlights, so I'm assuming that we'll see it more with as more time we watch him. But today was mostly getting to the rim, finishing at the rim. He also dropped 28. He dropped 28 in the first game of his college career against Auburn. That's an SEC team. I mean, it's just insanity. You know, it's just... I definitely feel like he's showing so many flashes of Devin Booker, because Devin Booker is a similar type of guy where he's 6'5", highly intelligent. He's not going to blow your doors off athletically, but he's athletic enough. He's tall enough. And, you know, the off-ball screens, Devin Booker is a technician coming off-ball screens. Devin Booker is a technician at off-ball shooting. Devin Booker is a top-notch shot creator and a top-notch foul drawer, right? You know what I mean? And I'm definitely seeing very Devin Booker comp right now, and he's looking like his clone, in my opinion. I have him graded as a top 3 pick in the draft. Also, he's a pretty decent defender, not overly gifted, but he's definitely going to be above average to good at the next level. I would like to state as well. But yeah, right now I have him graded as a top 3 pick, and honestly, if we keep on seeing more tape, I could definitely be him saying number 1 pick level talent. Jacoby Walter special. So Chris, I'm sure you're just excited as me to talk about him, so let's hear what you got to say.
Oh my gosh. I am so happy that you said that he is Devin Booker's clone, because that's exactly what I thought. Remember how we were talking about Devin Booker like probably a few months ago, probably years ago?
We comped him to him in high school.
Yes.
Yeah.
We said that every shot, Devin Booker is the type of shot creator where every shot he takes is a tough shot. Like, there's no such thing as an easy shot for him. The way he contorts his body, the way that he's coming off the screen, the way that he's, you know, has the defender in front of him. It's just everything that he does is tough. And when you have a shot creator like that at that level, in his first game, he drops 28 points. That's great. You look at that and you go, wow, this is like, this is the guy that I want on my team now. Yeah. Like, absolutely right now. He can help. He could help so many teams right now.
Yes.
Right now. He's ready. He's NBA ready right now.
Was it against Dartmouth? Was it against East Illinois State? It was against Auburn.
He's NBA ready right now. He is one of those guys that you will be like, I need him on my team. He
came straight out of high school.
Like, right? He can't get him straight out of high school. He was looking great in high school like that. Like, I watched high school clips. You watched high school clips. Yep, like, he was looking like that in high school.
Yes.
Dude, and it's so just... when you have somebody who has such a high level, high IQ scoring ability,
fun to
like
watch.
That, like, you, it's always going to be fun to watch, and you want somebody like that on your team. And I say he's a top 3, and I'm going to agree with you. He could be pushing number 1 if we see more games like this, which I'm sure that we will, because it's in his blood. We've seen it in high school, we've seen it now. He's going to continue to be great. Yeah. Great at scoring, great IQ, great at, oh my, it's just. He's going to continue to be great. He's going to be a number 3 pick. Number 3, number 2, heck, even number 1 possibly. He has that potential. And I'm not just saying this. Jace is not just saying this. We've seen it. This is the eyes.
Yeah.
This is the eyes. This is the eyes. And it's crazy. And then what's also crazy is we're going to talk about Aiden Holloway, who is another guy like that.
Yeah. We'll talk about him in a minute. We got to touch on the Baylor players real quick. But we'll eventually talk about the shocker of the whole scouting session. Yeah. All right. Next man up is Baylor's Miro Little, 6'4". He was like a top 50 ESPN top prospect point guard. And I could be really quickly with this. He looks way too raw for the NBA right now. I don't even think it's worth it spending any time on him. He's undrafted grade at this moment of time. Yeah. Way too raw. So what do you think about Miro Little?
Exactly what she said, Jason. I didn't see too much. Like, that's why, like, a lot of the... Okay, raw. So let me look. So I looked, and, like, after I didn't see anything, I was like, eh, I don't need to pay attention anymore. Look at Jacoby Walter.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah.
That's already what I did. After I didn't see anything, I was like, nope, I'm just not going to pay attention to you anymore.
All right, you ready to kick it to the next guy?
Yep.
All right, next man up is Jalen Bridges, 6'9", forward from Baylor. Man, I mean, I've scouted this guy before. He was, like, projected to be a second-round pick last year, but he re-entered. He's a 3-and-D guy. Always will be, always has been. He's looking like the same kind of guy this year. You know, he's still so elite on the perimeter, guarding the perimeter, guarding on ball. He's such a good athlete. He's so good defensively. I definitely feel like defensively, though, he took a jump in one specific area, which is he was much more thin last year. And I think people don't really realize how much pushing really happens in the NBA. I mean, it's hard to see it from camera angles, but a lot of times when imagine Kobe Bryant getting guarded by Meta World Peace. Meta World Peace is going to have an elbow and a forearm into his back through every move, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to body him up with their chest. They're going to body them up when they spin and all this type of stuff. Like, it's a physical game out there, okay? And if you want to be a defender at the next level in the NBA, you need to have strength. And he is strong enough to do that now. Now, he's definitely looking like somebody who could be a very elite defender because of his guarding to multiple guys. Because now he can guard a Kawhi Leonard because he can push with him, right? So it's he can guard more positions now, the more physical players at the forward position at the NBA. So it's definitely helping his draft stock immensely. He showed some flashes guarding the rim too, off of rotations and off ball stuff. And I'm like, man, this guy is scary. Defensively, he put on a masterclass against Auburn. It was really impressive. And he's looking like his 3-point shots improving, and is looking like his ability to drive to the rim is improving. I also saw him do some intelligent screens where, you know, there's somebody, everybody's ball watching, and there's Jacoby Walter open to the 3-point line. Everybody sees it, and he can see it. He's going to set a screen on the guy that's guarding Jacoby Walter, but is not looking at Jacoby Walter. So then, boom, Jacoby Walter gets a wide open three. Right, little things that he's doing, showing that he can be a role player, be intelligent screener at the next level. So this guy is flashing 3-and-D role player at a better level than he did last year. Right now, I have him graded as a 22 to 26 pick, because he's very elite athletically as well. So this guy, you know, this is a guy that really worked on himself in the weight room and in the film room, because he's really good right now. So that's what I think about Jalen Bridges. What do you think about Jalen Bridges?
I think that he will be a top-tier role player. Top-tier role player. He's going to be a great 3-and-D guy. See, I have no prior experience. I haven't seen him before. And all I see is the exact same things. I'm like, yep, I can see that he has the ability to knock down the shot. He does it at a great clip. I can see that he's guarding correctly. I mean, great at the perimeter. Like, and, you know, defense just takes effort. Like, and he's, like, a big, like, effort defensively guy. Yeah, like, he can guard, like, great too, so I can see him definitely becoming like a 3-and-D in the league, and he's gonna be a top tier role player for a great team, and you know he's gonna be able to defend some of the great guys. He's gonna be like Comp is not Klay Thompson, but he's gonna be on that level far as defensively is what I would say.
Yeah, he's special. He's really special. He's perfect defensive wing right now. And that's what more people really should do in that are second round draft picks. Most of you guys should come back here, okay? Because you can develop like this guy. All right, you ready to talk about a guy that's probably not going to have to come back next year? Aiden Holloway?
Yeah, he's not coming back.
So this guy, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, I literally blew up Chris's phone immediately when watching him play. I wrote down this game not thinking. I was like, oh, we're probably going to watch Aiden Holloway once, twice this year. He's not going to be in this draft board. He's too small, not athletic enough. What are we even talking about? Well, he pulls up from the volleyball line. I'm like, whoa, this is going to be a little interesting. Yeah, so Aiden Holloway, 6'1 point guard from Auburn. He dropped to 19-6. Think about that. Say that aloud again. Aiden Holloway in his first game of the season, coming off of an injured ankle injury that people didn't even, wasn't even sure if he was going to play game one, against Baylor, who won the national championship within the last 4 years of college basketball, dropped 19-6 and looked the way he did. That's just insanity. Oh my goodness, deep three-point shot creation. I mean, he is extremely elite. I've been doing this this is going to be my fourth draft. This is the best deep three-point shot creator I have seen from that range this whole time frame. I was in love with Bones Highland, but Bones Highland isn't like this. This is ridiculous. He did some stuff from Trae Young range, and I was like, whoa. I mean, his ability to come up pick and rolls and being running almost at full speed and then pull up and be shooting a three and be leaning to his right a little bit and then make it like it's nothing. His ability to come up these pick and rolls and pull it from, you know, the volleyball line. Hello. I mean, dude was losing his mind. And I mean, this guy's special. This guy's special. His shooting form is also a clone of Trae Young's. I mean, if you put them next to each other, you would be like, oh my gosh, Jason, that is the clone. Are they related? Are they distant cousins? Like, what is going on here? They got similar shooting form, and it's important for that shooting form to generate the power that's needed for those long, deep three-point shots. One thing that I really saw as well is, okay, maybe this guy's going to be a one-dimensional three-point shot creator, because he probably doesn't know what to do when they really press on him. Within, like, the first half, the guy who's guarding Aiden Holloway is like, you know what? I'm going to deny this guy the ball and play him as close to his body as possible. You know what Aiden Holloway does within 0.3 seconds? Cuts to the rim, gets 2 free throws. You know what I mean? He already knows within less than a second, he made the decision of exactly how you beat people that try to play these extremely deep three-point shot creators, which is cutting to the basket, because they're playing you in front of you, so you have all that room to cut to the basket. But some people are greedy and like, I'm going to be a three-point shot creator. I don't care if they guard me like this. I am Aiden Holloway, and I'm going to drop 50. I don't care. I'm going to do it by doing it with things like that. No, immediately makes the right decision, right? It's why you can't play in front of Steph. Steph's going to cut to the rim, and then he's going to have a layup, right? And now it's 4-on-3 with Steph, right? Mm-hmm. That's the same thing with Aiden Holloway. Immediately, he made the right basketball choice. And pretty quickly in this game, in around the third quarter, Baylor was like, fuck this, we're doubling him. You know what I mean? And immediately, pass, pass, pass. And I'm like, whoa, he could tear people up his passing as well? Dude's a really good passer. I was really impressed. Like, one-handed passes. I mean, he's a right-handed basketball player. He made a left-handed pass to the guy in the corner on a line right in his shooting pocket. I was like, whoa, hello, where did this come from? He made full-court lob passes? What are we watching? Is this a video game? When I start saying, is this a video game, is when things are getting crazy. And he's not just a three-point shooter. He's finishing at the rim on the 6'9 guy that we just talked about. Baylor's got athletes. They got 7-footers. They got 6'11 guys. They don't have a center shorter than 6'11 on the team. They got big grown men that are 22, 23 that are big at the rim. And he, who's not a great athlete, finish on them. What? And he has a floater? What? He has a mid-range pull-up? What? Oh my goodness. This guy's insane. And on top of that, I mean, on top of the great passing, on top of the three-point shot creation, he's a pretty good defender. I watched him guard Jacoby Walter a decent amount, and he did a pretty good job. He's 6'1". He shouldn't be guarding Jacoby Walter that way. He may not have overwhelming athletic gifts. is he? I definitely feel like body type wise, he's a clone of Fred VanVleet. You know what I mean? It might be a little bit faster, but body type and athletic gifts, Fred VanVleet clone. But I also feel like he's a clone of Fred VanVleet defensively, because Fred VanVleet's extremely intelligent defensively, and understands everything that he could do to maximize his ability to defend. And I feel like it reminds me a lot of that. This dude's insane. He's somewhere in between Trae Young and Fred VanVleet, because, you know, Fred VanVleet's the base, but Fred VanVleet doesn't shot create from that far out. And that's where it's like, okay, there's a little Trae Young-ish. He's a better passer than Fred VanVleet, because Aiden Holloway's kind of passes a little bit like Trae Young as well, where it's like, okay, this guy's got it. He's not quite Trae Young yet, because Trae Young averaged 27 and 10 in college. It's a little bit below that. But when I have to start throwing out Trae Young, who's personally one of my favorite players in basketball, to comp you to somebody, yeah, you're pretty good. this guy is not being talked about enough at all. This is a top 5 pick, in my opinion, that can work his way into a top 3 pick of the draft. He 25 and 10, if I had to put a stat line to, you know, project things to you. He's unreal. Holy shit, I did not see that coming. Wow, Aiden Holloway. All right, Chris, you get to live your life, man, because he's so great.
Yeah. Okay, so this guy is ridiculous. Okay, so, you know, he comes on the court, right, and you just watching, do, just watching normal basketball game. Then all of a sudden, 4-point play, and you look and you notice that this guy has pulled up with the guy basically hugging him.
Yep.
And falling over to the side. Yep. It didn't hit the backboard. It didn't hit the back of the rim. Yep. It went.
Yes.
And at that point, you was like, this man is real.
Wow.
Wow, like, he's one of those guys who are gonna, he's another one of those guys like Jacoby Walsh, where every shot he takes will be a tough shot. And then not only that, well, that you have to guard him from the locker room.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
You gotta start guarding him at the bus, yeah. At the showers,
yeah.
At the school when they go on their way here. You gotta start guarding him,
yes.
Like, while he's sitting in the seat, you gotta start guarding him because he's gonna launch it.
Yes.
From there,
wow!
You gotta start guarding him when he get out the bed in the morning, like that RDC World One, like their clip of Steph Curry. It was like they start guarding him when he first got out the bed. He's like, "What are you doing? Like, I'm playing defense." Like, you gotta start guarding him when he get out the bed in the morning, because that's how he's gonna. You have to treat him like that, like the Steph Currys, the Trae Youngs of the world, because they all the Dame Lillards, because they all can pull from like the volleyball line and further, and it's effortless, and it's just like, okay. So, like, if you play off of him, if you don't do your scouting homework and play off of him,
yes.
You're going to pay for it. Because you're going to think, oh, he's not going to pull from right here at the Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then you got to start guarding him closer. Then, a good point you make. But then if you do, like, okay, we're going to start, like, guarding him super close so he can't get the ball. I'm going to try to deny the ball.
Yeah.
You can't see anything. You're too short. You're too short. Oh, what he's gonna do? The IQ kicks in.
Yes.
Oh, I can't shoot no more because you're playing so close. I can't get the ball. Let me think about it now.
Yeah.
When he thinks about it, his second weapon kicks in, and guess what happens? Now you're watching the dust. The dust he leaves like a dust shadow as he blows past you right now, and now he's at the rim and he's getting 2 free throws.
Yes.
Or he's getting a layup because you can't like, he's already reacted to how you're gonna play.
Yes.
And then top of that, the mind is the second weapon. So then once you get to, okay, he's beating us shooting wise, he's beating us with his quickness getting to the basket with it, moving off the ball, then you go, oh, let's throw 2 bodies at him. We're all pretty tall. He's still 6'1". You can't see.
Yeah.
He's like,
yes. I was like, whoa.
He starts carving up your defense with his basketball.
Yes.
Like, you're not even there. Like, think about this for a second. You're absolutely right. People on Baylor are like 6'7" and up, 6'6", maybe. Like,
tall team. Tall.
Like, these are tall. This is a tall team. He's 6'1". He's passing the ball like there's no defense.
Exactly.
Like, they're transparent, translucent. Like, he's looking through them.
Yes.
and he's already seen, okay, you know how we talked about Isaiah Collier earlier in this? He was like, oh, he sees the play before it develops. Oh, yeah, he saw that play already developed. He knew where he was going to go.
Yes.
And he hit him on the mark. Now you have to worry about that. This guy is legit. Okay, look. I'm end it with this. He's going to be a top four pick. I'm going to call it now. Not cool. Five, top four. Hey, bro.
I'm
top
here
four.
For it.
He's gonna be fighting with Jacoby for that three spot.
Yeah. Bro, Ron Holland better look like a boss, because I don't know. This dude's unreal. Yeah. To be this intelligent already, not be one dimensional off of this is insane how developed he is already. Ridiculous. Yeah. And the crazy thing is, I put him on this board. He wasn't even like in the top 90 of somebody's big board. Was it in the top 90? Because game one, I was like, oh, he played in high school. Let's throw him on there. It's going to be like Miro Littles of the world. I'm going to be undrafted. Ta-da! Top five, right? You know, team people probably haven't watched him yet. So this may be a controversial opinion, but he is a top 10 look at worst. You know, it's shooting percentage. They're going to have to look great, as I'm guessing they will be, but this guy is special. Dude's insane. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You have anything else you want to say about the great Aiden Holloway that surprised both of us so much?
I will say that just remember that because of the fact that every shot he makes will be a tough shot, every shot he takes will be a tough shot, his shooting percentage may not look as great, but understand that you have to watch the shots that he's taking.
Exactly.
Because it makes a difference in the percentage. Like, if you're shooting wide open, of course you're going to have a great, you know, great shooting percentage. You know what I mean? Like, you're shooting standstill, you know, you may shot create some space, but if every time that the defender is basically hugging your body, it's going to be hard to knock down those shots every time. So everything's going to look very skewed, and then you should ignore that.
Yeah.
I mean, not ignore the skew, but look at the skew and look at the player, because his shooting percentage, he might shoot, like, I would say at best 30-35%, but don't really don't paint that as the whole player. You know what I mean?
You're right.
Look at the shot, his shot selection as well.
I agree with you. That's a good point. Good point. All right, you ready to kick it to the last guy that we broke down?
Yes, sir.
All right. The last European, Zachary Rocher. Watched him play in the Euro Cup, 6'8". He's a French guy as well. He plays on JL Borg, in case you guys want to watch a game and know what team he plays on. 6'8". He still has a beautiful three-point shot. Still really, really great. It's the best thing that he has. He understands how to move off ball when somebody else has the ball in his hands to get to like open passing lanes for the guy that has the ball in his hands. He's an average NBA defender, but he definitely showed weaknesses at guarding quicker to fast players. He got beat off ball with the ball, beat off the dribble a lot, and it looked really easy. So, you know, defensively against NBA talent and quickness and speed, it's going to be a question mark. He's definitely going to be probably the weakest defender on the floor if he's starting. And on the bench, he's going to be like top three. I was really disappointed with one specific thing, which was him's ability to come off ball screens. Like, why in the world are you 6'8 and have that kind of jump shot and don't understand how to come off ball screens like a high school basketball player knows how to? What I mean by this is, somebody comes off an off ball screen, they're supposed to align their feet with the rim off the, when the ball's in the air heading to them. So when they catch it, right, their feet are aligned to the rim, they're ready to shoot immediately. If you watch Klay Thompson, Duncan Robinson, Max Strus's of the world, you'll see this, right? They look great. As soon as the ball is in their hands off the catch, everything's aligned with the rim. And dear goodness, his feet are pointing at like the stands, like people in the stands. His feet are in terrible positions. His footwork is terrible. He is so bad off ball screens. I was like, what the heck am I watching? It should be on catch and it should be up within like a half second. It shouldn't be you catch the ball, you're wide open, and then your feet are so jumbled that by the time you align your feet with the ball, it's been a second. again. And now that guy that was coming off ball is now guarding you, and then you have to go run another pick and roll because you couldn't set your feet in time. This guy has a beautiful jump shot. He's 6'8", and I'm going to be very blatant here. He's playing in Europe, where the whole thing is they're more skilled, right? What the heck am I talking about? You could go pull up to your local high school and see some two guard on the floor that can do this at a better clip than this NBA draft pick. That's insanity to me. I mean, it was a just so poor. It was amazing. So he can't do that in the NBA. He's so below. He's so far behind on his technique and his footwork and his understanding of that. That's never going to happen in the NBA. You will never see him do that well in the NBA ever. So, you know, the tough thing is that he can't drive to the rim. He can't shot great. So what is he? He's just a standstill three-point shooter. That's a really weak on-ball defender. So, you know, I've seen some people move. And the sad thing about it, I saw him go up to the lottery and some people's big boards like, man, he's looking so good in EuroLeague. Yeah, we need to be writing your article because you suck. This guy is not a lottery pick. This guy is a 24 to 28 pick in the draft because I really feel like his standstill three-point shot is going to still be there. And he's going to be a bench shooter for a while. That, dear goodness, he's just so, he makes me so upset at not doing the fundamentals well. So, Chris, now that I'm done ranting, go ahead and talk about Zachary Richer.
Zachary Richer. Okay, yeah, so does play for J.L. Borg. I've seen him, you know, I will say that I did love his shot, right? Like, he has a beautiful three-point shot. I didn't love that he floats around the perimeter a lot. There's not a lot of off ball. He floats a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll move from one side and kind of float around, kind of like, I saw one play in particular where I was looking and he floated toward the ball handler and brought his man over. And I was like, that's not smart. You shouldn't have done that. You should have floated the other way or maybe cut to the basket, but you're floating and not a lot of off ball as much as I would like to see. Or we'll say that when he did have the ball and it was, you know, and even if like it was one shot in particular where like he caught the ball and he shot it. And I was like, OK, so that's not too bad. So he's always ready to catch the ball, catch and shoot. His mechanics for that, it sucks, but he does have a quick trigger. So like he'll shoot it and like it looks pretty decent. I would say on defense, his long arms. He has pretty quick hands on defense. I saw a couple of times where it was like he was like making some moves defensively where I was like, okay, he could be, you know, like I said, it's confident 3-and-D wing. That's kind of what I was seeing like flashes of a little bit. And I can say that if he can work on that a little bit more, that might make him a little bit more of a matchup nightmare because he is pretty long. And I did see him actually put the ball on the floor and attack the closeout. It was one time in particular where, like, he got the ball in the on the wing and he was, like, getting ready to shoot. And the guy pulled up and he went around him. Like, it looked very sloppy, but there's potential there.
Yeah,
it looked like, no, honestly, it looked very sloppy. I think he got turned around and was, like, had his back to the basket. And I was like, what are you doing, bro? Like, it looked very sloppy, but it has potential. I wouldn't go as far as saying like undrafted, but I can see him at the end of somebody's bench. I mean, with the shooting ability, like that can be fixed. You know what I mean? Mechanics can sometimes be fixed. So just a tweak, you know what I mean? Like getting the right shooting coach and somebody to be like, hey, listen, that's not the way you do that. Because clearly nobody's telling him that. That can be tweaked. And I think that once that happens, then he can look more like a Duncan Robinson, you know, some of those guys who are like great role players kind of would. Duncan Robinson isn't a 3-and-D guy, but he's a great shooter. He can be looking like that a little bit. But I can see this guy, you know, a 3-and-D guy at the end of somebody's bench, possibly if he doesn't fix his mechanics. If he fixes his mechanics, I can see him a little bit higher.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Right now, I would say one inch shorter, Ryan Anderson.
That's crazy.
Ryan Anderson can't defend. Man, quick people. I feel like he has issues. So, yeah. Richer, yeah. Woo. Yeah, alrighty.
Right.
You ready to...
Great shot, but he doesn't know how to use it.
Yeah, facts. It's so disappointing that he just can't come off ball like that. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm ready. You ready to kick it to the end of the podcast?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. It's been really fun. We've had definitely had a really great week this week. Next week, I can give you guys a nice little intro of what's going to be watched next week. Next week, we got Duke versus Michigan State. I mean, Duke's got like five guys. Michigan State's got like three guys we're going to watch. We got Kansas versus Kentucky. Kansas has got like three guys. Kentucky has like six guys. Kentucky's loaded. And we're also going to watch Marquette versus Illinois. Marquette's got two guys. And Illinois has got two guys as well. And a guy named Terrence Sharon that I was really high on last year. I'm really excited to watch him play as well. So that's what we're going to be watching next week. Definitely going to see the Juan Wagners of the world. You're going to see the Jared McCains, Tyrese Proctors, Kyle Filipowski, Mark Mitchell. So it's going to be really fun. It's going to be a really big week. So is there anything you have to say?
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
You guys enjoyed this episode.
Yeah. All right. Now I'm Jason.
I'm Chris.
And we are the Pick and Roll Podcast. Peace out.
1 flexibility, take yoga. 1 flexibility with your health insurance. Check out United Healthcare insurance plans underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company. They offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.